The Old Testament reading for the Sunday of the Passion is from Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, "Where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge? Who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Then the whole company of them arose and brought Jesus before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You've said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him, and was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but Jesus made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod, with his soldiers, treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before this, they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him." But they all cried out together, "Away this man, and release to us Barabbas." Barabbas was a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found no guilt in him deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to their will. As they led him away, they seized on one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people, and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him which said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our text today is Luke chapter 23, 1 to 56, the gospel lesson just read. The title is The Passion of Our Lord. This morning we meditate on the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. This is what sin looks like. If you ever wondered what sin looks like, this is it. On the one hand, you can see here the injustice, the crimes, and the sins of Pontius Pilate, King Herod, the Sanhedrin, Jesus' enemies, the soldiers, and the people who together conspired to put Jesus on the cross and thus kill an innocent man. On the other hand, you can see here the results of sin. Sin makes a bloody mess. Sin kills. Sin bereaves families of their loved ones. And worst of all, in unbelief, sin rejects God's only plan of salvation for the world. This is what sin looks like. It's ugly, detestable, violent, gruesome, bloody, and utterly demonic. It is so gross that the powers of heaven could not even look at the crucifixion of God's Son. And that was evidenced by the atmospheric veil, or whatever it was, that interrupted the sun's light between the sixth and the ninth hours. It was so hideous that even the earth shook at the thought of the death of its creator. We live in a world today in which sin is treated quite casually. People who don't believe in a God don't believe in sin, obviously. Sin, by definition, is an offense against God. If there is no God, then there is no sin. Only the breaking of human laws and customs, and perhaps offense against society. The 18th century University of Königsberg philosopher Immanuel Kant understood this. Even though he was agnostic with respect to religion, which meant he was not a believer, he knew there had to be a God of some sort to judge what's right and wrong. The Bible is full of language about sin. Just look up in a Bible concordance all the verses for sin and its synonyms, such as disobedience, iniquity, transgression, debts, evil, wickedness. And those are just the general terms of sin that cover all of its manifestations. More specific terms, also found in the Bible, refer to individual actions or types of sin, such as adultery, idolatry, rebellion, etc., etc. Now, there's a reason that the Bible is full of language about sin. It was written by people who were seeking God, but who kept finding out that the way to God was shut because of sin. They kept finding out that sin was the problem between humans and God. It began with Adam and Eve on that first day after their exile from the Garden of Eden. On the first day, they woke up and thought, did we imagine this? So they walked back to the gate to see if they could get back into that wonderful garden. And those special times of discussion with their father. But the angel at the gate refused to let them in. He said, you are sinners. You cannot come in here. This place is only for the holy ones. Go away. Moses was the author of the first five books of the Bible. After he was banished from Egypt for his sin of murder, he too sought God's company. One day, he saw a strange light on the mountain. When he approached the burning bush, God said, do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Exodus 3, 4 to 5. And the word holy means someone or something that is without sin in God's sight. But even Moses, the greatest of the prophets, had to stand back, away from God. The idea of holiness was expressed for many centuries to the people of Israel in the tabernacle. There was holiness. Only priests were allowed to enter the tabernacle, and only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holy Places once a year on the Day of Atonement. But he had to do a lot of preparation. He had to do a lot of cleaning, special clothes and everything else. There were many other sacrifices offered throughout the year for a variety of purposes, but the Day of Atonement was the one time in which all the sins of all the people were dealt with. When that high priest entered the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, He would be vested in all of his priestly vestments and regalia, everything that's described there in Exodus and Leviticus. And there was a turban on his head too, kind of like you've seen with the Sikhs, the males among the Sikh people, have a turban. And on the top, it said in Jewish letters, "Holy to the Lord," Exodus 39:30. Now, even though that high priest was as much of a sinner as anyone else, the words on his forehead reminded the people that God viewed the high priest as holy. Even though he is a sinner, God saw holiness. And this practice continued from the beginning of the tabernacle into Solomon's temple, and then later the second temple after the Babylonian captivity. And that practice still was being used at Jesus' time. Once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies with the turban that said, "Holy to the Lord." Now, you know that high priest is the one that told Jesus that he was rubble and had to be put to death. So if there was a sinner, it was the high priest, and yet it said, "Holy to the Lord." The details of the Day of Atonement are found in Exodus 16. There you can see that God required sacrifices of several types. Animal sacrifice. A bull was sacrificed for the sins of the high priest and his family. A goat was sacrificed for the sins of the people. Another goat was called the scapegoat. Exodus 16:21 commanded the high priest lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over the goat all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, concerning all their sins, putting the sins on the head of the goat, and then sending the goat away into the wilderness. Thus, the sins of the people were literally taken away from them on the head of the scapegoat. And so, when John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the people out in the wilderness, where the scapegoats kept going and taking all the sins of the people out, then he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John 1:29. These words are preserved in our liturgy in the Agnus Dei. The Lamb of God, that's what Agnus Dei means. In one sentence, which everybody remembered, it's in our Gospels, John explained the purpose of Jesus coming to earth. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was the scapegoat upon whose head the sins of the world were placed so that he could take away those sins for all eternity. These fundamental truths of the Christian religion are explained by St. Paul in Romans 3:23 to 26. I quote, "All have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood," look at the blood, "through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that God might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." A little farther in the same book, Paul explains how this affects our relationship to God. I quote, "God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from God's wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Romans 5:8-10. The words justification and its cognates means to declare righteous. When you are justified by faith in Jesus, because you have faith, God puts the words on your forehead, holy to the Lord, just like the high priests of Israel. Even though you are still a sinner, God does not see your sin or consider you to be a sinner because of the suffering and death of Jesus. Because God sees you as being holy for Jesus' sake, through faith, you can come before his presence with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Because of Jesus' suffering and death, you are reconciled to God for all eternity. This is most certainly true. In Jesus' name, amen.